Swan. Glad to see and welcome all you good folks to the meeting of the Country Church of Hollywood. You sure are welcome. And I know that Parson Hopkins and Sister Sari's wife is going to be pleased, too. Hang up your wraps on a peg over there and come on in. Parson Hopkins and his wife, Sarah, have had a lovely time of visiting among the neighbors today. They just left Raz Barlow's house a little while ago, and I gathered from what they've been saying that brother and sister Barlow have been having a little bit of difficulty. Well, maybe you can catch on to what they're talking about yourself.
Get up there, I tell you. Well, honey, that's what Raz was telling me when we was sitting out there on the barn steps.
Well, was it Brother Barlow or his wife that started that fun?
Well, Raz says him and his wife was walking home last night from the quilting at Finest Purtle.
Yes.
And Raz says the moon and the stars sort of touched him, and he says to his wife, Lucretia, get up there. How'd you first know that you was really in love with me?
What did Sister Barlow say?
Well, Raz says she sort of sighed and said, well, Raz, get up there. The first thing I really noticed that I thought a lot of you was when I caught myself for getting mad when folks would say you was ugly and half-witted.
Oh, she ought not to have said that. Wasn't that terrible?
Yeah, that's what Raz says he felt. You ain't heard the bell, have you?
No, don't believe I have.
Get up there.
Let's pull off the road here and talk a while.
Well, I don't care if I do. Them Barlows sort of strained me while we was there, them all in a tanner that way. Did you notice... Ooh, now, Dan, you slow down there. Did you notice they was nice and all that, you know, outward, but they kept on a-picking at each other?
Yes, yeah, I noticed that.
Yes, they did.
Did you hear what Sister Barlow said when she tried to help Raz out, when you were talking to him there and tried to help him out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, when I was standing up for Raz?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I says to Sister Barlow, Raz is a pretty fine old fella, ain't he? Now, Dan Hopkins, behave yourself. Now, you keep your mouth off of them leaves there. Well, she answered right back, oh, he's tolerable. Then I says, why, he'd grant his wife's smallest wish. You know he would. She snapped right back at me and said, yes, she would, if it was small enough.
You know, Josiah, I hope you and I won't get like that and someday go to finding fault with each other.
Honey, you need to never fear. You ain't never seen no change in me, now have you?
No, you've been about the same since I first met you,
yes,
Josiah.
Yes, I have. Oh, boy. Of course, I've changed in some of my ways. Got a little older and learnt a little more, I reckon.
You're funny, Josiah, talking about how you've changed.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you ain't changed much.
Me?
No, that's what tickles me when you get to talking about what a fool you used to be.
Well, now, you see, gone to hinting at me. All right, I caught that. I didn't mean it that way. Get on down the road. Well, I wish you'd say what you do mean, Sarah.
Well, I mean you're a bigger fool than you... Oh, no, that ain't it. Oh, Lord.
All right, honey. Will you just let it go? I know I don't know nothing, and I ain't got nothing. Never will have, I reckon. Get up there, Dan. You understand me, don't you, Dan?
Oh, Josiah, I meant you just as foolish about me as you ever was, don't you see?
Oh, I do wish you'd say what you mean, honey.
Oh, I wouldn't trade places with anybody else for $1 million to boot.
$1 million? You know that's a lot of money, Sarah. There ain't hardly that many leaves on the trees in the three counties.
Well, I wouldn't, honest. I wouldn't trade you off for $1 million. By the way, Josiah, have you ever thought what you'd do with $1 million?
Many a time, honey. You know, we talked on that at the shoe shop the other day, and it sure was interesting what the different ones would say.
What did the different ones say?
Well, first one thing and then another. I believe it was old Snodgrass that led off with the thought. He said that if he had $1 million, he'd erect up a home for helpless old people.
Now, that's a good thought.
Yes, it is. And Uncle Jack Denny, he hauled off and said that if he had $1 million...
You're going to get $1 million if you don't slow down there.
I'm slowing down. Ooh. You always tell me what to do, honey, just when I'm fixing to do it.
All in his glorious dress.
Lige was sure bouncing around on that bass there, wasn't he? Made me think of a rubber ball bouncing down the steps. Well, I hope you all are feeling at your best today. Mighty glad to see the neighbors out. We're always proud to have you here. You're welcome. Remember that the latch string always hangs on the outside. I tell you, that piece you all sung the other night, it ain't Het Evans's. You know, you ain't never sung no better than that. Let's see, something about a train. In his train. Ain't that the piece?
No, I think it's the old Rugged Cross we sung there, partner.
Well, that's all right. The old Rugged Cross. Well, that wasn't that what you all were singing when I come in about the train?
Yeah, we just sung that.
You know, I thought, told you that piece was mighty similar to me. Well, I will declare. Well, go on and sing the old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a well of lost sinners was slain. Cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and
I see, you know, when we was over there and you all was singing that, what brings it back to my mind, you see me and Jeff Betts are sitting over in the corner, and you heard me laughing, didn't you, over there at the singing? Well, what brought it up, you see, I was telling Jeff about the football coach. You see, Bud, he was playing with him, you know, and he said he liked the coach mighty well. And so I says, Jeff, you know, when he told me that, I asked him, I says, has it got four wheels on it? And I laughed, and Jeff said, what you laughing at? How many wheels has it got? Well, anyway, you all just as well go on and sing another one while you got your hand in. I Want My Life to Tell. That's a grand song.
Amid life's busy hurrying throng, the gay, the sad, the weak, the strong, while I am traveling along, I want my life to tell for Jesus.
I want my life to tell for Jesus.
That everywhere I go, men may his goodness know. I want my life to tell for Jesus.
Yes, we was talking back at the forge, and Sarah says to me, she says, what would you do if you had $1,000,000? Well, you know the piece I thought of was what Solomon said. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that's there in Ecclesiastes. You know, that was a smart man, Solomon was. You see, one reason he said this, whatsoever your hand find to do, you see, he never would let himself stay idle. You know why? Had 1,000 wives who watched him. And if he'd have been idle, they'd all gone to tell him what to do and gone to order him around. But there's another thought in there. What's the use of wishing and of thinking on what you'd do if you had $1,000,000 when you ain't a-doing nothing with the nickels and dimes that you have got? $1,000,000 never changed nobody. The Lord's the only one that can change you. Why, you can live in a big house, that don't change. Drive a big team of horses, that don't make no difference. Well, what difference would $1,000,000 make? You know what my doctrine is? If you ain't a-doing it now with what you've got, you wouldn't do it with $1,000,000 if you ever had it. So my idea is better go to doing something right where you're at. That's my doctrine. Well, neighbors, doing grand things is sort of like starting to go somers on a horse and a buggy. You know what you have to do? You have to start from right where you're at. Well, goodbye, folks. Remember, we wish you all well and hope to have you with us again. Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye, everybody.